And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Is this that khaki league you guys always talk about? Hello, everybody, and welcome to your most favorite hour. Well, actually, today it's going to be about 51 minutes of your entire week, month, and year. It's Under the Radar, part of the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast. This show is brought to you by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. I'm pretty sure I know the answer is no. But you guys haven't seen the Shohei Ohtani card that came out today, did you? Our boy Alex Pardee made it.
No, I might have to.
It's you got to see it, man. It's awesome. It's Ohtani the pitcher, and coming out of his back is like a Quatu like guy who is holding the bat. It's you just got to see it for yourselves. You guys saw Total Recall, right?
Yes, our Total Recall was that was many years ago.
Well, it's kind of an homage to that, I think.
I think it's a little before my era, but the card's awesome. I did see it this morning. I look at the Topps Project 70 stuff at least once a day, just for at least inspiration for the ad reads, if not just for pure enjoyment.
Wow, that's a wild card.
It's wild, right?
That is. That's a cool card. I might have to. Yeah. I don't like monsters at all. Like I'm not. That's not my thing. But that's pretty cool. That might be my favorite one so far. I have the
You and Alex are like friends. You guys bonded over Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say we're friends, but, you know, he was a nice man. I liked him a lot.
I'm surprised you haven't. He's like the only person we've ever kind of even talked about on the show who you haven't, like, pursued a relationship with outside of the show.
I actually.
Like, oh, you know, I was talking to Alex last week about his card.
I actually did do that. I was trying to get him to get you. No, there was a card that you really wanted that was done. I forget what it was, and I reached out to him. I was like, hey, can you get that card and sign it and send it to Nando for me as a gift? And he never did, and he said, yeah. And then I reached him again, and he never did. So I never brought it up to you, but that was the one time that I did reach out to him. I was like, you know, I was like, get a little Alex Pardee signed card, send it to Nando. He'll enjoy it. You know, I like the little gifts. Throw a little gift.
Friend. Yeah. What a great guy.
See, you're
and
a
what
friend.
What a jerk Alex Pardee has turned out.
No, so, I wouldn't say that. But when you said he's a friend of yours, I had to make a difference. Derek Van Riper is a friend of mine. Nando DeFino is a friend of mine. Alex Pardee, I met on a podcast once. He was really nice.
Well, I was just, that was hyperbole when I said you two were best friends.
Gotcha. Yeah, definitely.
I understand.
You want to introduce us? I don't even think people know who's on the show.
Oh, you're right. With me as always, my friend of yours, Ika.
Hello, my friend.
And your friend of mine, Derek Van Riper.
It is a real episode of Under the Radar.
I know, right? It's you know, DVR, you're great at the opening. You're a great host, but there's something about the, you know, the Nando coming in at the top that just kind of puts you in the mood, you know? We're going to be a little silly. We're going to have some fun. And there's stuff to talk about.
I want to, first of all, thank you guys very, very much for, you know, I had to hop out last week. And like right now, I'm in the thick of fantasy football and sports betting. Like last year with fantasy football and the year before, I guess we weren't doing the podcast, but with fantasy football, I'm like, yeah, no problem. You know, I can do both. Fantasy football, pay attention to baseball, even though I'm kind of out of it in a bunch of leagues. This year, I'm just so buried that yesterday I had to confess that I haven't even, quote unquote, played the game in like a week. So Ian put together this rundown for us.
Just some names, just some things that I've been thinking about over the course of the last couple of days in no particular order, frankly. It was just, hey, let's get something down. So there we go.
So it's going to be all top 25 players.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, so I hope this isn't your first time listening to the show. Usually I'm very much involved in this, but just no time in the day. And all my teams suck, so it's like, you know, what am I going to do? I can only fine-tune a dynasty team so much.
Well, right? DVR and I are down to the wire. DVR and I are close in so many leagues, actually, DVR. You notice that? We're next to each other in so many leagues, and there's one league that I think, I mean, I don't want to jinx it for us, but I think it's coming down to me and you. I don't know if Eisner is going to be able to hold on because it looks like we just pulled out ahead. I think you're at, what are you, at 138 and I'm at 137. me and Thomas, Dr. Thomas Scott at 137. And we made a huge, I called him last night. We're trying to decide to put in David Fletcher or Kyle Tucker. So we did a quick like little strategy session last night after my baseball practice, came home. I was like, all right, we got to make a decision now. Do we want to go Tucker? Do we want to go Fletcher? And he said, let's go Fletcher. I was like, give me your reasoning behind that. And it wasn't so much like you've got to prove it to me. It was like part of why we're working together is he wants to like learn about the game and get better at the game. So I was like, tell me your thinking on it. And his thinking was dead on, spot on. I was like, okay, great. Let's go with Fletcher.
All right, Dr. Thomas Scott.
Thomas Scott, little shout out for our friend.
DVR, I think you were posed a question in there about 20 minutes ago, if you'd like to answer that.
Which question? The standing situation?
Yeah, I think it was just a, are you two both 1 point away from each other in the stand? Is this that khaki league you guys always talk about?
Khaki. Khaki's good. We'll call it that. I like that.
I should have named it khaki.
No, it's 130. DVR's at 138. Go ahead, DVR. You tell
them. 1.5 points right now. I'm looking at the standings. There are points that are going to shuffle around probably every day. It's been that way for weeks, and I think it's going to be like that through the very last day.
It's a good league. It's a very good league. The only problem with that league is we discussed, you and I, DVR, on the phone the other day, or last week, whenever it was, is that people should still be playing hard in that league because it's a keeper league, and the pickups that you make here could be kept at the price that you buy them. And DVR, who did you pick? You picked up somebody really clever for a buck. Was it Joe Ryan you got? Or Joe Ryan,
maybe for $3, Seth Beer for $1.
Right. You know. And these are guys that other members of our league should be grabbing at those prices, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always, keeper leagues especially, but even in redraft, continuing to make those moves, I think you should always keep doing that. And I think it's on commissioners and redraft leagues to have more incentives to finish a little higher in the standings, even if you're not going to cash. The difference between 6th and 8th should mean something. Draft position the following year, or you know, whatever it might be. There should be some little incentive to keep playing everything out.
You know, I was putting together my Tout Wars, because it's still the draft and hold. I think I actually made quite the run in Tout Wars draft and hold, but I think I'm just going to ultimately finish like 5th or 6th.
That's good. Not bad.
Yeah, I mean, I was wallowing down there in 12th. I had killed my injuries, but like I was looking at my lineup, and you know, you can't drop any guys. So this is basically just crystallized from March, I think it was March. I don't think it was February. And I'm like, man, like these guys are like the eyes of the DL next to their name. Kyle Lewis, what a lost season for that poor guy, man.
Yes, 100%.
Right? Like, and like, it's even like, it did not help. It didn't help us kind of determine if he was for real or if that was like a late season run into a shortened season kind of awesomeness. Like, I don't know. Right? Like,
yeah. I mean, Kyle Lewis is a great guy to talk about because he was a guy that was a real dynasty asset and a good keeper league asset. And now, you know, you're going to get him next year in drafts for, let's say, an auction strategy. You'll get him for $2. Someone will throw him out for $1. Someone else will go $2, and that'll be it. Maybe $3.
No way. No. Yeah. He'll be like eight.
No. I don't know. Let's DVR. Let's do the auction. Ready? I've already announced that I'm not going past $2. So Kyle Lewis is on the clock. Nando DeFino bids $1. DVR, you're up.
Let's go. Going once. Come on.
Going once.
Go ahead, Nando. You can bid.
He bid the $1. I'll bid $2. All right. So all right. Nando, DVR goes $3. $3. Yeah. Going once. Going twice.
$4.
Nando goes
$4 over here. $4.
Nando DeFino, $4. Going once. Going twice. Sold. $4 to Nando.
That's crazy.
No, that's crazy. It's not, because his knee, man. His knee. He has no knee. It's the same freaking knee. And he just breaks. And he doesn't have the upside of a Mondesi or a Buxton, where he's gonna, you know, if he were to stay healthy. What are we looking at? I mean, if he were to stay healthy, have a full season, and is running and has a full knee, you're looking at 22 home runs, 10 stolen bases with a 255 average, 260 average, okay? So that's fine. That's a good player to have on your team. But how many games is he going to play? 60? Right? And that there's not going to be much room in that outfield soon. So then you're looking for a trade because you got Haniger. They're probably not going to get rid of Haniger. You got Kelnick and you've got Julio Rodriguez showing up. So long term, I think he's going to be one of those players like Mondesi is for the Royals. It's like you can't really count on him. Then you're hoping for a trade to the Pirates, you know?
Everyone goes to the Pirates and gets good.
Well, Tsutsugo,
like Yoshi Tsutsugo, yeah.
But DVR, do you agree with my assessment on that?
I think if he's healthy, Lewis is the third regular outfielder there. I mean, they have a floating DH possibility, right? They don't have an old guy that can only DH locked in.
Right.
So they have that extra spot. That might be a way to take some of the wear and tear off of Lewis's legs. But I agree with the concerns about his health. I mean, this is unfortunately has been the story of his career. It goes back to his time as a prospect. It's why we didn't see him even play that much in the minor leagues. Like when you go back and look at the games played for Kyle Lewis between 2016 and 2019 in the minor leagues, I think he got something like 250 games in the minors over the course of four seasons before that late season 2019 debut. I think he's probably a little better than the current slash line for sure, but that requires actually being healthy. The good news here in the profile, he did strike out less than he struck out at any point during a stint in the big leagues this year. 25% K rate, you can absolutely live with that. He's shown that he can draw walks. So there's a good player in there, but it's just with the unfortunate health grade.
Yeah, really unfortunate health grade. And he... Look, I it's just a question of health, and health is sort of a skill. But that, I mean, if you extrapolate, I like using that word, 130 at bats, 5 home runs. So you're 4, and that's about 20 home runs. That's about what I said, and about 8 stolen bases and a 246 average. That's just not. I mean, it's good, but you combine that $4. Okay, $4 is fine.
I think it's a worthwhile $4 gamble. Yeah, he's the type of player you should take a chance on at that spot. I don't think that's a bad buy. I think the other thing that Lewis is doing really well, he's barreling the ball. He's got 13.6% barrel rate. That's exciting. That points to more power than the projection you put out there. I think you're buying the projection that you put out there, Ian, but you're getting the possibility of 30 home runs if he's able to play 140 games.
Five.
Seems like a low probability
five.
Outcome.
I bid five.
This is over.
No.
We can work out a deal. Hey, call me.
I'll give you Tsutsugo for him. I'm going to get him for $1. You go, oh, Tsutsugo was still out there. Oh, he left out. Oh, I didn't have any room. I wanted him so bad. That's my first honest Nando DeFino.
It's not deep enough, you know?
Oh, maybe you're right. It's not deep enough.
You're
right.
You're guttural.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah, you're right. But I wanted to talk about this, the responsibility of a fantasy owner in leagues. So in GDD, I'm just going to speak personally. Robert Mrshak and myself are currently in fourth.
Oh, we got to talk about Robert Mrshak.
Nah, we can if you want. Yeah, all right. We are currently tied for fourth place. We are not going to finish in the money because Alex Cushing has taken the lead in GDD with 124 points. Our friend Steve Cozzolino, who has been leading most of the season and probably hasn't gotten as much props as he has deserved, is at 121.5. And Ariel Cohen and Derek Carty are at 118. And Rob and I are at 100. And Dave...
What do you think those phone calls are like?
With who? Oh, with
the
Derek?
The Bat and ATCNY.
I think
those have to be amazing. That's probably a podcast.
Yeah, I think it's just like, let's get the value. I think that's what it is. So we have 100 points, and we're not going to get up to 118. It's just how it is. We're going to be in fourth or fifth place. But I feel a real responsibility. It's like every single day I am trucking through with Rob, and we are setting our lineups and getting everything set. And I wanted to talk about that. Like, what is the responsibility? Because in one of the leagues, that's the setup. Derek, what do you think of this, of what I'm saying about you got to keep playing through to the end of the season?
It's extremely frustrating to do it when it's not going well. And like, I'm in 11th right now. I built a terrible pitching staff. Like everybody, dealt with some injuries and just didn't make enough good moves to get around it. For me, this league is the one that I spend the least amount of time on because there are daily moves. And what I need to do is have the habit of going in on Sunday, setting the waivers, flipping in all the plays for the week, and just like taking 30 seconds to check it closer to lock. But it's easy to lose sight of a daily moves league, especially when you're not contending.
Yes, that's true. But I mean, even weekly. Forget the daily moves.
Don't play in a league with daily moves, and that'll solve your problem.
Yeah, that's not. But the point I'm getting at is in weekly leagues, we have some players in different leagues that we play in that have not looked at their lineup since August or July, and I don't get that. right? I talked about Tout Wars.
Give us some names. Who's been doing that?
I'm not going to do that. All right. But in Tout Wars, I was in 13th place. I talked about it on the show, saying I'm going to bust my ass and I'm going to keep grinding with this team. And now I'm up to 7th place, you know? And to me, that means a lot. And am I just stupid? Am I just too prideful that no. I want to finish in the top half of the league?
I wouldn't even say it's that. I mean, you should be like, I know Matt Williams, who did some football stuff for us, actually. Really great follow on Twitter. He's at Roto World, NBC Sports Edge. He's in a dogfight for first place in the Tout Wars draft and hold. And it's kind of like when you're up in first and that close, you're looking at the standings and you're saying, like, oh, well, this guy's, you know, fifth in steals and he can knock the guy off in front of me who's fourth, you know, if he just gets two more steals this week. And then you go look at my lineup and it's like DL, DL, I, DL. And I'm like, man, you know, I effing hate this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my right. Matt Williams impression. I never heard him talk, but I assume that's what it is. So anyway, but you know what I mean? Like you just owe it to Matt Williams of the world. You know, you're, especially in a Roto League, you're affecting everybody yes. with everything you do because you're in the mix in so many things.
Without question. DVR, what do you think about this?
That's exactly right. I mean, it impacts the people who are contending in a rotisserie league if you're not actually setting a lineup and making adjustments to the roster.
It's slightly different in dynasty leagues because you may want to tank to get a better draft pick, which I think is also wrong, which is why DVR is khaki league, which I think is funny now. It's called khaki. It's mocky. It's khaki. It's the khaki league. No, it's the mocky league. How do you have it set up, DVR, that you get the top four teams cash, and then if you're in fifth place, you get the first pick, right?
Yeah, you get the first reserve pick, which ends up being usually, if not the best prospect from the previous summer's first-year player draft or J2 class, it's one of the very best players. Depends if any of those right. players get thrown out in the auction.
Yes, that and many of those players in that league do get thrown out in that auction, which can be frustrating if you have the – I remember – I traded for the number one pick and then you took CJ Abrams and my heart broke because I had traded for the number one pick to get CJ Abrams. And now you have him. Did you trade him though?
Nope. I kept CJ Abrams. I traded just about everything else I could possibly trade for the future. But CJ Abrams is still there.
I love CJ Abrams so much.
That's, well, he's a play for the future. I mean, like
he is. He's a brilliant play for the future. And yeah, you really have. You've gone all in to win this league this year. And I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. It's going to be there's four of us still alive, right? I mean, I shouldn't leave Schlane out either because he's also a former champion of the league and he's a good player and he could climb back up. I think he's at 128 and Eisner's at 132. You're at 138. I'm 136.5. So it's going to be really fun. We're going to talk about it next week. We'll talk about it and, you know, see where it all lands. Two leagues like that. I've got two leagues right now that I am suffering. It's not fun. I don't know if is it fun for you guys when it's in this final thing? Like Devil's Rejects, it's 178, 177, 176 with Wilson and I at 177 and Greg Willmeyer 178, I think, and Luke Chatillion 176, right? So it's going to come down to the three of us over the course of the next 2 weeks. And every darn game, I'm like watching like it's too much. It's a little too much. Do you find it fun, DVR?
Yeah, I mean, well, at least it doesn't feel when I coach soccer and we'd go to PKs in a tournament or end of the year in the playoffs. That was the worst feeling in the world to have all the stakes like falling on that. This the end of the season in fantasy baseball and even like week 16 of a fantasy football league, it'll be week 17 now since the season's longer. That doesn't feel the same. That pit in your stomach that you get.
Yeah.
Like the PKs and sudden death, and there are certain things in sport and games we play where you can like you feel that extra tension. And I don't think it's at quite that level. I think it's one notch below that. Like it's a sweat for sure.
Yeah.
But I think in most cases, the amount of money at stake or just
it's
knowing
not the money.
You still had a good like a very good season even if you don't win. So I don't know if something about that is like easing the burden, right? Because it's not you versus one other person. It's still you versus 14, 15, 16 other people.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel that way at this point. And like, so I have two leagues that are locked. I'm going to win AL Labor and I'm going to win Rob Mershak and I, though Ari Sunshine is going to laugh and say, you know, it's not over yet. It looks like we're going to win DL1. So there's not much sweat going on there. But there is sweat in Maki, But I won that league, so it doesn't. And Devil's Rejects, I have not won that league. And it's my second year in that league, and I want to win that league. I really do. And it's painful to watch Hyunjin Ryu give up 7 runs in 3 innings. It just makes you miserable for the rest of the day. My kids are like, "What's wrong?" I'm like, "Nah, I just can't. I can't explain to you why I'm taking seriously this little game, but I do, and it matters." Matters, it does. And it's not the money, because it's not that much money, you know, but it's the pride playing against some of the best players in the game, and you want to win that flag. You want to take that title.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
What do you do on October 3rd, whatever it is this year?
When the season's over?
I mean, I guess you go psycho Yankees mode, assuming they make the playoffs. But I mean, like, it's just like, you seem very stressful today. Stressed out, not stressful.
Well, I'm just talking about that particular aspect of the game is very stressful, you know? That part of the game right now, this next 14 days. But it's equally stressful for the Yankees. I had a moment last night where I had Robbie Ray pitching. It's so much dissonance because I had Robbie Ray pitching for me in AL Labor. Robbie Ray is also pitching for Luke Shatilian against us in Devil's Rejects. So I'm like rooting for Robbie Ray, and then Robbie Ray gave up 3 runs, and I was like, oh my God, really? I'm like, I should be fine. It's not going to be a problem. I'm like, oh, but that helps him. And then I'm watching, but I wanted Robbie Ray to get the win. But then as a Yankee fan, I don't want the Blue Jays to win. This happened with Nathan Eovaldi over the weekend. I have Eovaldi in a number of these leagues, both of those leagues, Maki and Devil's Rejects and DL1. Have him in all of the kind of long-term leagues. Because I really like Nathan Eovaldi. He's pitching this weekend. He's rolling. He's killing it. This was the worst result. He gets 8 strikeouts, I think, and 5 1/3. Ends up giving up a couple of runs, but has the lead. So we're gonna get the win. We're gonna get the win. The Red Sox then lose the lead, and then the Red Sox come back and win the game. That was as bad as it could be because nothing went right. Because you don't get the Eovaldi win. The Red Sox get the win, and the chances of me being able to take my older son to Yankee Stadium for the wild card game go down considerably. And so it's like, you know, so it sounds like I'm not enjoying baseball that much. I actually am enjoying baseball.
It does sound like that, actually.
I know, but I am. It's one of the weird parts of fantasy baseball this time of the season.
What's up with picking up Gleyber Torres and Tout Wars, $56? I saw you put that in the rundown.
I did.
How did he get dropped?
DVR, do you know who dropped him in Tout Wars?
No idea.
So I'm going through on Sunday and I'm going through my thing and I'm like, Gleyber Torres is there. Huh. I would like to have Gleyber Torres on the team right now. I think he's going to start hitting a little bit better because he's not playing shortstop anymore. And I was like, all right, I got $72 left. I'm going to go $56 on Gleyber Torres. And because only like 5 people put in bids, I ended up getting him.
Wow. What was the second bid?
22.
Really? Well, because people probably run out of, they don't have their money.
Yeah, they're low. They're getting
this
low.
This is all coming full circle for you when you regretted dropping like Luis Robert for the season, right? And like now this is the money that you had from Robert.
That is correct.
That you can use now to win it with Gleyber Torres.
Well, I'm not going to win it, but to get Gleyber Torres.
Johnny Yankees fan, it feels good.
And also, yes, it does feel good. I'm going to say that. Like I'm actually getting further into the idea that I want more Yankees. I shouldn't say this on air because now people are going to use it against me in auctions. But I do. I enjoy having Yankees because I watch the Yankee games. I don't watch every Yankee game, but I watch a lot of them. And it's fun to watch them. So I'm kind of psyched because I didn't have Gleyber Torres anywhere this year. So I'm like, hey, I got Gleyber Torres off the wire. And he was like a $22 player probably coming. But maybe he wasn't that high. He was probably like 17 or 18 because he did struggle a little bit last year. But happy to have him. DVR, did you notice that he was on the wire?
I didn't. I missed the Tout Wars pickups this week. I had some other stuff going on Sunday. And being on the West Coast, I'm still not used to pickups running as early as they do. Plus, Tout Wars runs even earlier. So it was a bad, bad week for me in free agency. I was one of the few teams that could have actually pushed the bid a little more. And I'm trying to decide if I actually would have. I think I would have been around the same number had I put a bid in. You'd have been an upgrade over, I mean, Josh Harrison and Edmundo Sosa. So I would have thrown something out there for him. But man, because- It's so frustrating to look at what happened to Gleyber. I thought he was going to be a monster this year. I thought he was going to bounce back. Maybe not to the 2019 power levels, but I thought you're going to get average. You're going to get an easy 20 homers. You're going to get tons of runs and RBIs. I thought he was one of the better, I would say, early round values. He was going, I think, in the top 75 of snake drafts.
That's about right. That's about
right.
At
the end of March. Like I thought that was, hey, you're getting a top 40 guy 30 picks later than you should. I was totally wrong about him.
I was concerned about him playing shortstop. I thought that because he's just not a shortstop. And they figured it out about, and Gary Sanchez, man. Oh my goodness gracious me. He literally lost them a game over the weekend.
I saw a lot of Twitter chatter about that.
Oh my God. I mean, it's just, you're not going to win a championship with Gary Sanchez behind the plate. I almost texted you guys last night. It was going into the ninth inning. The Yankees were up 4-3 against the Texas Rangers. Sanchez was behind the plate. Chapman was coming in. And I was like, how do you not bring Higashioka in to catch the last inning at this point? I just, you know. And then Sanchez made like a nice block at one point. So maybe he'll be back to being a decent catcher for the next couple of weeks. And they need to be. It's a really exciting time for baseball right now. I mean, if you're watching the games and if you care about the teams, the wild cards in both leagues, it's really going to come down to the last days.
This is what I'm talking about. This is why the season should be 60 days. Or at least end on like August 31st. I don't have any idea. Even if every year when I'm playing fantasy, I have no idea what the wild card situation is or whatever until like it's too late, you know, until there are like 3 days left. Maybe DVR, I don't know if you're the same way. Maybe not because you're actually doing real baseball podcasts and stuff. But I think a lot of fantasy players, we could use this month to like actually follow real baseball. It'd be fun. And then just be done with fantasy. Think about how much happier you'd be, Ian.
Nah, then the pain would just be happening August 15th, probably, right?
Well, that's what October baseball is for a lot of people. Playoff baseball is the, hey, let's just watch baseball. I know you can play in playoff pools and different things like that, too, but those are so much less popular than season-long leagues by comparison.
I don't like playing playoff baseball. I don't like joining leagues for playoff baseball. My dear friend, Tim McLeod, he's a friend. He always does a playoff version. But I always feel good about the wins that I have at the end of every season, and I don't want to go out with a loss. So, because, you know, chances are you're not going to win because there's only one winner out of 30. So I'm like, nope, season's over. Well, jeez, spam risk. Are you kidding me?
What was that?
That was a phone. That was my Game of Thrones. I like that. I like that as my ringtone. And I didn't shut it off. So there you go.
Who do you play that because you missed the show or do you fancy yourself an honorable Stark?
I don't miss the show because talk about a bad ending. That was a bad ending. That was a bad ending. And I was doing it with the All In Kid. Jake Seeley and I were doing a review.
That's right. You had a podcast.
We did. We did a podcast of the last season of Game of Thrones. And DVR just kept going, why are we doing this, guys? This is The Athletic. This is not Entertainment Weekly, right? I mean, wasn't that your point? Like, why?
And it turns out it was the most popular podcast on the site.
It really wasn't. It really wasn't. And the show was a disaster. Not our show, not Jake and my show, but the Game of Thrones show was. I mean, did you get DVR? Obviously, Nando, you know, because you called the Starks. Did you watch Game of Thrones, DVR?
I did not.
Wow, DVR.
I've only had HBO for 6 months
nudity?
Out of my life. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to quantify the threshold of what I'm looking for in a show in that regard.
It's a lot of nudity in that show.
Dream it's, on.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Davier.
Yeah, I've never watched The Sopranos. I've never seen The Wire. I've told people I'm saving these shows for retirement.
Oh, I thought you were going to say for when there's a pandemic that comes that keeps you inside.
No, that would have been one way to play it, but no, I'm saving it for retirement.
We're working more during the pandemic, so that's kind of backfired.
did you guys you stopped watching Ted Lasso, right?
No, I didn't stop. I just stopped liking it.
Oh, okay.
Although I loved this last Ted, I loved the beard episode. I loved it.
Okay. Well, are you kidding me? Because this is where I was going. I was going like, all right, you jumped the shark. And I have a reason why they jumped the shark, but I could not stand that episode. I was like, okay, start the show. Where's the show? This is the show? Like a weird Fellini film of Coach Beard, who I do like, though less now after that show, because we had to watch him. I don't even know what the heck. What was that? You like that?
It was great.
DVR, do you watch Ted Lasso or you're not caught up to it?
DVR 100% watches Ted Lasso.
I'm on Lasso. I'm through 4 episodes of season 2. And I think I hated the first episode of season 2 almost as much as I've hated any episode of a show that I've liked ever. That episode, it did not set the tone properly for what the season is turning into. I think it's going in the right direction. Like 2, 3, and 4 are much better episodes by comparison. But I could see people watching the first episode of season 2 and going, this show is so unrecognizable from season 1, I'm flat out done.
Did I share with you my thoughts about, as an actor, what was going on with season 2 of Ted Lasso? Have I shared that on the show or have I not?
No, you haven't. You didn't even tell us that on phone calls.
Would you like me to share it, or are we getting too far away from baseball? Derek, let me know. Are we getting too far away from baseball?
I mean, we got a couple minutes for it. I guess at what you're going to say? I'm probably wrong.
Ahead. No, guess, please.
We'll get into Anthony Gose after this.
Yes, yeah, okay. We'll get there. Definitely.
I don't think they expected the show to go beyond one season. Just based on the way it's pieced together. I think they had to really dig deep to come up with new plot lines to extend it.
I think, it filmed during the pandemic, so it's off anyway because you're keeping people apart and it's not, you know, you can tell some stuff is very green screened and people just are distanced in an unnatural way. And B, I think they just thought the wrong thing made that show successful.
Okay, I'll tell you my theory behind it. These guys became immensely popular from that show. Like that show the first season of that show was so rightfully beloved as one of the better TV shows. And we saw it on the Emmys. I mean, they pretty much got everything except for writing and directing, which Hacks got. And I might have to watch Hacks, I guess.
Hacks was good.
Yeah. All right, cool. Here's what I think happened. It's very similar to the sophomore jinx for baseball players, where you come up the Pete Alonso second season. This is the Pete Alonso second. We'll call it the Pete Alonso second season, Ted Lasso. Where you become immensely famous for different things. And the characters like Coach Beard, who I really do like, became extremely famous for his, okay, coach, you know, that kind of like tone of letting, you know, like a nonplussed thing. So he's doing it more. He's just, there's a little bit more of that. There's a little bit more from Nathan, the guy, the young guy who was the former towel guy and then became one of the coaches. Like you could see every time he's doing a line, there's a self-consciousness. Now I can relate to this because after season 1 of Turn, I was really celebrated in season 1. People were like, oh my God, it's the greatest Washington I've ever seen. And I like watched it. And I was like, oh, look what I'm doing. I'm there. Oh, da, da, oh, da, da. So it just became too much of that in season 2. Where I was like trying to do the thing that people liked as opposed to being in the moment. And then I kind of figured that out, I think, midway through season 2. And I was like, yeah, just go back to doing your thing. And then it got, I think, got better again. So I think that's what's going on with them from an actor's perspective. And the only ones who did not suffer that were Roy Kent, who is really good, and his girlfriend, Juno, who is phenomenal.
He's a writer on the show, doesn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's a writer on the show. Yeah. So anyway, I I thought that last episode of Ted Lasso was not my favorite, far from my least favorite episode yet. And here's why it went that way. So if you haven't watched Ted Lasso, my apologies, we're almost done. They had originally, Apple TV said, you're going to do 10 episodes for next season. Then it became this enormous hit. And they said, do 12. And they went, well, we've already set up to do 10. So what they did was they did 2 standalone episodes. The Christmas episode is a standalone episode. It has nothing, you could put it anywhere in the show. It has nothing to do with the story of what's going on. Does not advance the story. And then obviously the Coach Beard episode, which does not advance the story. So that's it.
Maybe because I didn't like the story, I like that episode.
Okay. Oh, maybe that's why. Maybe that's fine.
There's a break from it. There you go.
It sure was. But get back to the freaking story. You got three episodes left. Hopefully it'll be better than what we've seen. But it has been fun every Friday night to sit down with my wife because she loves it. We did text about this. We didn't talk about it on the show, but we were texting about it. That my wife was like, it's my show. I was like, the only other time you said my show is when it was Grey's Anatomy. And this show is turning into Grey's Anatomy because everyone's falling in love with each other. Like the owner is falling in love with the young. I mean, it's just weird. It's just weird, but still enjoyable. It's still definitely worth watching. If you don't have Apple Plus, there's a plug for you. Get yourself Apple Plus because the first season, Ted Lasso, is some of the best TV you're ever going to see. That's it. That's the pitch. All right. Anthony goes. Go.
Let's do it. Yeah, go ahead, man. You put him in there. I've been amazed at his turnaround.
Kid is throwing 100 from the left side coming into pitch. Just got called up by the Cleveland Indians. First time in the major league since 2016. It's
a batter.
He was a center fielder. He was a speed guy. Yeah. He was, Toronto.
I remember him. He was a steals guy.
Yeah. And then now he's a 100 mile an hour pitcher throwing from the left side. It's really, he's like the natural in reverse, but he's not going to be Roy Hobbs. But it was exciting to see that he was coming back. DVR, were you surprised or happy?
I knew he was trying to do this, and I thought that maybe he'd just sort of faded away and gave up on it. So it's cool to see him back in the big leagues. And I was starting to think, how old was Sean Doolittle when he broke in with the A's? He was quite a bit younger. He made the position switch in the minors, I think, I don't know, age 22 or something, because he was a first baseman who became a pitcher. He was a two-way guy all along, or possible two-way guy. But I wonder if they actually might have a piece of their bullpen for next year, even if he's not a closer. Right. Is he a guy that sticks around and gives them 40 or 50 good innings at some point?
It's Cleveland, man. They just do it over and over again with anybody and everybody.
The Cleveland Indians this weekend, I almost texted you guys. We're starting 9 players against the Yankees. They won both games by 8 runs. It wasn't even close. Their lineup had 1 major league player in it, and the rest of their lineup, the entire lineup, had played in the minor leagues this year. At first base, you had Bobby Bradley, who started in the minors. I'm just trying to remember where everyone was. Yu Chang was at third. I think Jose Ramirez was DHing. That's why it looked like this. You had Andres Jimenez at shortstop, and you had Owen Miller at second base. You had Mercado in center. You had Bradley Zimmer in right. And then I think Harold Castro in left. And they whooped the Yankees' butts with Rizzo, Torres, Gio Urshela, DJ LeMahieu, Aaron Judge, Joey Gallo, Giancarlo Stanton, and Garrett Cole pitching. What?
You sound upset.
It's just, how does that happen? You're talking about a salary of $15 million on the field for the Indians versus $200 million, and they win 11-1 and 8-0?
Baseball's a funny game like that, isn't it?
I mean, isn't that nuts? Nanda, what do you think of that?
I don't know, man. I think it's pretty cool. Cleveland's had this talent in their minor league system for a while that they kind of had held down, I guess. And I'm not saying this is a collection of all-stars, but you could go around that infield and outfield again and be like, yeah, I can justify. This guy was supposed to be good. This guy was supposed to be good. This guy had a lot of talent in the minors. This guy had a great OBP. This guy hit for power.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not the Yankees, but it seems to me like that Cleveland lineup that you just named is better than your average tanking slog of September lineup. That's kind of like a young and exciting lineup.
I don't know. I can't agree, because even the Baltimore Orioles, who are tanking, they have Cedric Mullins in center. They've got Mountcastle. They've got some. Roberto Perez was their most veteran player playing, their best hitter, so to speak.
Johnny rah-rah, that's that team. Sometimes that addition by subtraction, these are guys who have played together, who know each other, who, some of them might have come up together.
I just like to be known as Johnny rah-rah from now on, because
Jose Ramirez is still there. He's right. Amazing.
Yes, he is. He's absolutely amazing. He's been.
But Bradley Zimmer was supposed to be great. Miles Straw was a speed demon for Houston, was supposed to be great.
He's actually been great on Cleveland, but he wasn't in the lineup. He wasn't in the lineup that day. No, that's the point.
Yu Chang's got nice minor league numbers.
Yu Chang,
Andres Jimenez was the huge part of that deal that brought over Ahmed Rosario.
I get it. I get everything you're saying. And Yu Chang has been great. I picked him up in AL Labor last week, and he had a great week, and he's starting again. Great. Love it. Love it. It just seems Judge, Stanton, Gallo, Rizzo, Torres, LeMahieu, Sanchez behind the plate. You know what I mean? Garrett Cole pitching. You got to be able to win that baseball game or you don't deserve to play in the playoffs, which is kind of where the Yankees are. And I don't think they're going to make it. And maybe that's just me prepping myself for the pain of it all.
Man, you should not let your emotions be ruled by the New York Yankees.
No, it's true.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code The Athletic. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Can we talk about Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr.? Did you guys see what happened in the dugout last week, over the weekend?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Thought it was great. He's supposed to be a mentor, you know, like, and Machado's the guy who's like, wasn't he the guy who like lobbied to keep Tatis up when Tatis was a rookie?
Absolutely. 100%.
Let's not mess with him. He's got his back. He's proven he's gotten his back a million times and he's mm-hmm. right. It's not about you. We're in the middle of a pennant race. Don't get kicked out, dude. We need you.
DVR.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what you need to do as a leader, right? Like that needs to be part of what you have. Something's clearly wrong in San Diego. Like the energy, the momentum, everything they had coming out of last season is completely gone. And if you have strong leadership overall, if you have the right manager, the right people all in the clubhouse, you get through that because you have enough talent. Like, yes, they've had a bunch of injuries they've dealt with over the course of the season, but their season was on the line in that situation over the weekend. That was it. Padres Cardinals this weekend, I know they're not mathematically eliminated. That was a huge series in their bid to go to the postseason. Now they're behind the Cardinals. They're behind the Reds. They're actually tied, I think, with the Phillies, or they're a half game ahead of them because the Phillies have played one more. It's an unthinkable scenario. I mean, the Padres playoff odds as we record this, 3.6%. Remarkable.
I thought I was amazed at that exchange on both sides. I was impressed on both sides. I was hugely impressed with Manny Machado. That is not the Manny Machado that I was lobbying against the Yankees signing before last offseason. Right. Because I was like, you don't want him to be the best player on your team. He's not a good team player. I'm wrong because he is now, as he said in an interview, I guess about a month ago, he said, I'm almost 30 now. All I care about is winning. And I've learned from my mistakes and I'm here to help the young guys. I thought it was great. I mean, I thought it was amazing. I also appreciated that Tatis didn't get back into his face, you know, and like, who the hell are you talking to? And my favorite moment was when he goes, you're the best player in the world. Get out there. Doesn't matter. You're the best player in the game. Go play. We need you. It's not about you now. It's about us. It's about the team. Go out there. Don't argue. Loved it. I was so impressed. It was really, really awesome.
Under another guy.
Right. Here comes the next under the radar. The other guy.
Salvador Perez.
Salvador Perez, we got to talk about Salvador Perez, don't we? It's the greatest home run hitting performance by a catcher in history.
We have 9 minutes, so that's your call. This is your rundown, your call. Go ahead.
Let's Sal Perez, come on. What do you think? DVR.
I got a question on Twitter asking if he belongs in the first round for 2022. And I said, no, this was probably 2 weeks ago. And then a follow-up from the same person. How about now? Does he belong in the first round? And I said, no. Here's the problem, I think. It's an amazing season. I hate talking down about a player who's having a career year, like a historically great season.
Historically great season.
He's played a ton of games behind the plate. I know he DHs some to people that are, oh, he hit this many as a DH. Oh. Find something else to spend your time on. My goodness, like that's ridiculous. The problem I think I have with overpaying for any catcher, but especially Sal Perez, there is actual like batting average, like slight risk in the profile. Now, what he's been doing going back to last season, I wonder, has there been a swing change? Is he a different kind of player? He strikes out more than he used to, but he does more damage than he used to. He might have made a trade-off that's working. He's got 57 home runs now, going back to the start of last season. It's incredible. So there is an increased level of power. Instead of being the high 20s guy, he's probably more of a low 30s guy by projection going the next season. Maybe you can even get him up to 34, 35.
Yeah, I think can't you?
I just don't want to get on board with that, at least in the first two rounds of a 15-team league. So he's not a top 30 guy for me. Even when Buster Posey was at his peak, I was never comfortable paying the premium for a player at that position, given the added injury risk, given the likelihood. A typical Sal Perez season, he's not playing 150-plus games, right? He did it once back in 2014 when Ned Yost would just like chisel his name into the lineup card and then pencil in everybody else. But it's a great season. I just don't see a lot of Sal Perez on my teams next year if the price shoots up
into
that top 30 range.
Instead of draft, because I don't find draft interesting, can we do an auction, quick auction for Sal Perez next year?
Sure, I'll nominate him.
In a two-catcher league. Okay, you nominate him.
This is what I would do. In a two-catcher league, a 15-team league, I would throw him at the price I want him at or within a couple bucks. I would say Sal Perez, $18.
$19. Nando?
I'm out. I'll be auctioneer.
Okay.
Sal Perez, $19. Ian, was that Ian?
Yeah, it was me.
$19. All right, $19. Okay, $20. Salvador Perez.
$21.
Go $21. $21. Not shock bidded out of that one. $21, go once. $21 going twice. Sold.
Wow.
The income.
$21. Come on. That's like a six-round pick, isn't it?
What an overpay.
Six-round pick? Not at all. I mean, I would maybe have gone up to $28. So not a first-round pick for me either, and not a second-round pick for me either. But I think a third-round pick, if he's sitting out there, you have to consider it. Because the advantage of getting that much power from a catcher position, it just gives you so much flexibility. You know, even if it is 35 home runs, I'm looking at the numbers. He was projected to be the 98th ranked player in baseball. He is the 8th ranked player on the CBS site. 8th ranked. He's got a 276 average. He's not hurting your average. He's helping your average. 82 runs, 46 home runs, 115 runs batted in. Those are amazing numbers. Those are Aaron Judge numbers. And you're getting him a catcher.
But DVR's question is this an aberration?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think
Not to put words in his mouth, but I think that's where I was going. I think that's where he
right.
was going.
Right. This is an amazing season where it's everything that could go as well as it could go for him has happened. Like, this is the peak. There can't be another level above this, and I don't even know if he can sustain it because doing it in the first place seemed impossible.
Right, but he doesn't have to sustain it to have value up to $28. Does he? He doesn't have to sustain this. I mean, what is this season worth?
No, if he hits 270.
This is a 40. This is a
30, 270, 35, and 100 from a catcher is worth the high 20s that you're willing to bid.
Yeah, I mean, but what is this season? I mean, I don't do the math on it, but what has he earned so far this season with a 276 average, 82 runs, 46 home runs, taking away the catcher position? Just what would it be as an outfielder? $38 player?
Not sure I can pull that off necessarily, but he's like a top 10 on dollar values too. $34.
Yeah, something like that. And then you put that into the catcher's position to get that value.
It's like Pete Alonso at catcher is basically what you
got. Not even better because he's got a better average, doesn't he?
Well, I'm saying like the good Pete Alonso year from 2 years ago now.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just think that to me, that's worth $28. Because maybe more, maybe 31. Because you're filling a spot that is going to give you 9 home runs, 50 RBIs, and 40 runs, and no stolen bases with a 245 average. And instead, you're adding 25 home runs to the mix. You're adding 60 RBI. And the difference between the catchers is it's a bigger difference there than the difference between the outfielder number 1 and outfielder number 20.
Yeah, the advantage is definitely a legitimate one, but I'm just not convinced at that premium that it's going to be something I want to do.
Yeah, I understand. But no, I agree with you. You can't pick him in the first round. I don't think I would take him in the second round. When it comes to drafts, I'm going to look at him around 35 to 40. If he's sticking around, hey, wow. I've got the best catcher in baseball.
If you're going to pay that much for what, a 37-year-old catcher?
31, yeah.
No, 30, he's not.
He's 31 years old, bro.
He'll be 32 in May.
Wow, I've really overestimated how old Salvador Perez is.
Yeah, well, he's just been around. I mean, but also the pedigree was there. If you think about it, he came up at 22. He's a Hall. If he's now a Hall of Famer. I mean, although wait, I got this. I had said that once before a couple of weeks ago, and somebody on Twitter was like, "His WAR is like really low." So maybe I'm wrong about that. I could hate
WAR. Don't listen to those people.
Well, I don't know. I just look at him as a catcher, and I think he's a really good receiver.
You're going to believe what's right in your heart, or you're going to believe WAR, some made-up statistics?
Well, how about a combination of both? But if he continues anything close to this, he's going to be considered one of the best catchers in baseball. I mean, one of the best catchers of all time. You have to. I mean, anyway, that was mine. Is there any other quick one that we want to hit before? I just want to say Adolis, because it's been a minute. I haven't said that in a while.
Where's he going to go next year?
Oh, boy. Outside the top 200, probably.
180 for me. I think 180. I think the upside of power speed. Not an OBP. In OBP, he's not worth that much because he really doesn't walk enough. But in average leagues, I think he's going to have every day at-bats. I mean, how high do you go with Adolis then? I mean, if we've got Kyle Lewis at $4, I'll start the bidding at $3. Actually, we got to go. So we're going to hold off on that. We're not going to do that. We could do that next week. On the show. Nando, you got to take us out. We got to go.
We got to go. Just like that?
Yep. We got to go. Just got a text message. Just got a text message from the producer that we got to run.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. All right. We got to go. For the man. Oh, man. I'm not even ready for this.
Oh, no.
For the guy who totally missed the chance to do an Ariel Cohen impression earlier in the show and will probably never forgive himself for it, Ian Khan.
It's true. I did. But now I've just did it right now, so I feel a lot better about myself.
Okay, I guess it's not the same, though. No. Listen back. I want to see if you can find out when it was. For the man who's making us leave early enough, right? I don't have a joke, but the something-something khaki league, Derek Van Riper.
Hey, if I win that league, I'm going to go buy myself a new pair of khakis.
Yo.
Yes, zing. We'll talk to y'all later. Bye.
Good talk. Stop stealing my bits.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.